I'm the God of Games Podcasts, and I bring you podcast do right into your ears. Do.
You certainly woke anyone up who's turned this podcast on, Matthew.
Yes, I did. That's, I guess, a testament to my croaky throat. It's Top Matt Attack. There we go. There's all my energy for this entire podcast in that one little intro.
Running a bit low on energy today, Matthew.
Full of flu, Tom.
Oh, dear.
Not really that feeling that amazing, to be honest. But it's okay. It's a wonderful week in gaming.
It's a big week in gaming.
It is. New Nintendo console, Thomas Parry, also known as the Nintendo Switch.
Nintendo Switch.
I have held it in my hand many an hour, like a small babe, rocked it in my arms, and I played with it a bit.
It's the next Nintendo revolution.
It is,
something
yes.
The Wii U certainly wasn't. I've been a lot of talk just lately about where did Nintendo go wrong with the Wii U, and I think it was the fact that it wasn't really a revolution in gaming like the Wii was. And unfortunately, Nintendo in that awkward position now of they have to deliver something like that in order to, you know, get their place in the market.
Well, I think this is their... I think with the Wii U, I think their intention was to create something like the Switches. I don't think they pushed the idea far enough. And as a conversation last night with one of our colleagues, Cody, was essentially around the fact of, hey, I don't think any of those Nintendo games pushed the Nintendo major franchises in the way that they have in previous generations.
You could argue that, yes. I feel like it was a console Nintendo didn't really want to make, but had to make. Because the Wii at this point was rather old.
Yeah.
They needed to upgrade the Wii to HD at least. They wanted to be able to provide those same experiences the other two consoles provided.
Yes.
Unfortunately, that didn't happen because all the third parties dropped off.
When
I guess they realized that this wasn't a great platform. It wasn't really a relevant platform.
No.
Whereas why develop a game for that system though, when it was so hard to develop for too? So.
Well, we've talked about this a few times on the podcast, about this whole idea that it's really hard to develop for, the fact that it was underpowered because they wanted it to go in Japanese homes and not bug mums, their branding was off. There's a million things wrong with the Wii U. Looking at it though, it does have some amazing games on it.
Well, Nintendo supported it well. Well, as you mentioned, maybe none of those games were as revolutionary as in previous systems. They were very solid. And it was actually Nintendo's first go at making HD video games.
Yeah, it was.
And I think they proved themselves to be able to handle that kind of hardware and that HD thing very well.
Yeah, definitely.
Delivered some great games.
Yes.
They did. But, yeah.
I mean, you know, like, there were some third-party games on there, like Wonderful 101 and Tokyo Mirage Sessions. They were third-party. Yeah. They were good.
They came in dribs and drabs.
Bayonetta 2. I mean, you know, there are some quality games on that system.
And enough for the casual gamer.
Yes.
To be honest.
Yeah. 100%. I mean, if you are not a person like ourselves who is buying a video game every month, or more than one a month, as was the case with me for a while, then... Perhaps you didn't need that many more. Perhaps you would be fine playing Mario Kart for a couple of months. I had a conversation with a good friend, Austin, about how after that weekend away playing Smash Brothers, I understand why they like Smash Brothers now, but why would you want to devote yourself to just one good game, is my thinking. He was like, well, it's because all one good name is all you really need.
And it was never all I need.
No, me neither. But I think I may have found a game that may satisfy that urge, but we'll see.
Well, that sounds promising, Matthew.
It does. It's
Would it
teasing.
Be on the Nintendo Switch?
It might be. It is also on the Wii U, though, so I can't really badmouth the previous console that much.
That we're talking about Zelda Breath of the Wild here. Could be the Wii U swan song, the best game on the Wii U. A system seller if it had only been released a few years prior.
Yeah, 100%. It's a bit sad, really, that this is will probably be the final game for the system. Because I don't imagine your Ubisofts or whoever now putting up Just Dance games.
Well, they put
Just Dance 2017 out.
That's right.
I don't think anyone else will be making games for this. At least Nintendo have confirmed that Zelda will be the last game they publish for the Wii U, and I imagine
that'd be interesting to see that Wii U release schedule. Yeah.
Hey man, like the only thing I have pre-ordered that I know should theoretically still be coming is Darksiders Warmaster Edition.
Yeah, but I don't think that's going to happen. That's been out for a while in the other formats.
Yep.
There were a few games which had Wii U versions in the pipeline that never saw the light of day. For example, Project Cars is going to come out on the Wii U.
Ukulele.
And both studios, I think, said that the Wii U wasn't powerful enough to play the games.
Yeah.
I think Breath of the Wild proves that the Wii U is a very capable system.
I think that Wii U is a very capable system, but I think it all comes down to cost and user base. And are people really going to sit there and put a dedicated team to rebuild the fucking game from the ground up that you can easily port to other platforms.
And perhaps there was also some pressure to integrate the screen
in the
gamepad.
I think that went away as that console went on. I think the only people who were trying to
still
do that
was Nintendo.
But I imagine
Nintendo had initial push like, hey guys, you know, going to port it. Why don't you use this thing?
Yeah.
And then maybe they felt like, well, we're trying to do something with it.
Yeah, yeah. But alas, it's how it goes.
I still play Call of Duty Black Ops 2 with a pro controller. So I don't have the nice option of calling my airstrikes in on my gamepad.
Yeah. Oh, what a shame.
Which was something you could do.
Yeah, yeah.
And there's a lot of people who say that there was no Call of Duty on Wii U.
Yeah.
A lot of people say, oh, I didn't have Call of Duty, didn't have this, it didn't have that.
It did.
Remember when it came out, it had quite a few of those games. But
this is what I was saying to someone yesterday. It was just like, yeah, well, it had like Mass Effect, it had Arkham
Assassin's
City, it had
Creed.
Lots of things that you would want on other consoles. And they were like, yeah, but I'd already played them. I was like, no, you hadn't. Could they just come out on those other systems? Like, it was day and date. It's just no one clearly wanted them.
Yeah. Anyway, the Wii U is in the past. Even though it's certainly in my present at the moment. But we're looking towards the future of Nintendo and the future of gaming in general with the Switch. And what are your first impressions having being a new adopter of the system?
So, more positive than I was with the Wii U. Perhaps even more positive than I was
with
the PS4.
U. You're like, oh, this is kind of cool.
Well, no, we were living together when I had my Wii U, if you remember.
Together.
Yeah, living together, I said. Not together,
sorry,
Tom Parry.
We would have been together.
No, we were living together. Sorry about my wonderful nasal tones are probably making it hard to understand me. We were living together when I had it. I got new Super Mario Brothers Wii U. That was about it. That was the only really thing that launched with the grab me. Zombie U came out as well. Nintendo Land was bundled in with a bigger console that I didn't have. And a lot of the other games, such as Assassin's Creed 3 and Mass Effect and Arkham City, I already had.
Yeah.
So
this Switch launch is incredibly interesting because you've got a big game.
Yes.
Like Zelda.
I did get a big game like Zelda. I could have bought it for the Wii U. But I was like, well, you know, history has taught me nothing, apparently. The version on the previous console will probably be better than the version on the new one, but reports out of people playing it were saying, no, this is a very good version of this game. It's very similar.
Some would say the same.
Some would. Some would say there's slight improvements on frame rate, but there's also the ability that I can, if I wanted to, for example, go to the bathroom and unplug the thing and take it with me, as opposed to my usual, like, oh man, I really need to pee. I should really stop playing this.
It was a very important decision for Zelda to be a launch game.
Yes, I think so.
Because without Zelda, this launch would have been rather underwhelming.
It would have.
We played Bomberman, which was Bomberman.
Yeah.
It was perfectly playable.
Played a bit of the story yesterday. It's a Bomberman campaign.
It ain't a system seller.
It is not, Tom, without shadow of a doubt.
1-2 Switch is an interesting curiosity of a game. From what I've seen, I've never played the thing, though.
It's an interesting curiosity of a game that I've never played, but I look forward to picking up for £15 in about 6 months' time. So, there you go. The system itself, before we delve into the wonders that is Zelda, is a very robust piece of kit. I like it. I think the weight is very good.
It's very robust. I saw a video of someone dropping it 11 times before it stopped working.
Okay, good. Yeah. Cool.
On concrete.
That's good to know. I've got 11 times in it then before
the
I destroy it.
Didn't smash.
No,
The screen doesn't shatter, like, it's not made of glass.
Yeah.
I think so. That's good. You don't have to worry about that.
That's good. I still want a case for it, though, because I'm afraid I'm going to scratch it, because that seems to be the thing, is I can't buy peripherals for it.
You can scratch the screen. Yeah. The screen was scratched after this little test that I saw. But it wasn't shattered.
Yeah. So the system itself, like I said, pretty robust. Feels nice. It's got a good weight to it. It's about half the size of an iPad.
It's
and then
tiny.
The Joy-Con's,
you know,
clip
I have
on the side.
This tablet, and I always imagined that this Huddle tablet I've got, for those familiar with the brand, the Wii, not the Wii U,
the Switch
would be about this size. It's smaller than my tablet. Would you say the screen is about the same size as the gamepad screen?
I would probably say so, yeah. I don't think the gamepad itself is obviously much bigger, yes. And it looks like a leapfrog version of the Nintendo Switch.
Because it's very elegant, the looking thing, the Switch.
It is. It looks sexy.
Those curved corners remind me of the, on the Joy-Cons.
Yes.
They remind me of the size of a new 3DS.
Yes, they do. And I mean, if you think about it, the layout's also kind of similar. Yeah. But it's a good bit of kit, man. I'm very impressed with how sleek the UI is. Obviously, I haven't got a million games, so perhaps I will be saying the same as I did with the PS4 of, oh man, everything's in a line. How do I sort these things? I want folder options and whatever. But at the moment, I literally have Bomberman, Waku Waku 7, and Zelda. So I see all three of them. I'm like, okay, cool. The option of, hey, who's playing this game pops up every time you first open a game. And
Who's playing that game? Have you got any friends on there yet?
I got quite a few people from Miitomo, because obviously this thing is now linked together across Nintendo brands.
Is it linked to the Wii U and 3DS?
Yes, it is.
It is. So you could see me online.
Theoretically, yeah. I haven't got you added as a friend. I need to sort that out. I will also put my friend code on the Twitters for those who want it. So if you are listening to the podcast and want to play games with me potentially in the future, let me know. Yeah. Yeah, so user interface seems pretty decent so far. Very minimalist in what it does in terms of, like, hey, very simple, clean backgrounds with white text.
Apple kind of product, would you say? That sort of clean, easy to use interface.
Yeah, I to be honest with you, I say it harkens more to the PS4, I think, than an Apple experience. I don't think it plays very much with bold primary colours. I think it's kind of going for that simplicity you see in the PS4's architecture.
I do feel like Nintendo admire Apple a little bit.
Yeah, of course. I mean,
their idea of making things easy and accessible.
Yeah, I mean, that was evident with the presentation, the fact that they took Super Mario Run on stage at the Apple conference, surely, is that they have a lot of respect for Apple. Mm. But I mean, Nintendo's always been a company that works with people that are better in it in certain areas and then improves on those areas and then becomes a market leader.
Yeah.
It's what it's done time and time again. Unfortunately, we see things like that screw up in their face, which is the case of the PlayStation, where they thought they could be better than Sony. They thought they could go in, learn all of Sony's secrets, and then go out to be Nintendo again. But they didn't in that respect. So I think perhaps they were learning some things from Apple on this. It seems that way anyways, that there's some kind of tablety things. But I wouldn't say that the UI itself is Apple-based. As the varieties of playing it, like the kickstand mode we tried out with Bomberman, I also played a bit of Zelda on it. Not the ideal way of playing it, to be honest with you.
If you had to play it, if you didn't have a TV, then...
Then I would play it as a handheld. I think that third step is a bit of a cop-out. I prefer playing it as a handheld rather than having it on the side.
It's relevant if you're playing multiplayer, isn't it?
I can see it as a good thing of when I'm doing something else, like if I'm editing or doing something on the computer, it might be nice to have it by the side of me and then maybe play a quick game of Bomberman or something like that. As a sneaky little, hey, I need a 5-minute break, let's do something.
Yeah,
it seems like a good thing.
But you can actually text out of the house now, that's the big deal.
I can, yeah, when I get a case. Yeah. eventually I'll have one. But from my first impressions, Waku Waku 7 is a game we've talked about on this podcast many, many a time, so I won't get into that. If you like Waku Waku 7, the version of Waku Waku 7 on the Nintendo Switch is pretty bloody good.
Shall we explain it was a Neo Geo game originally?
It's a Sunsoft created, published on Neo Geo arcade hardware.
Yeah. I don't know if it was released on the home Neo Geo.
It was not.
It got released on the Sega Saturn, which is a version I'm familiar with, and have long been a fan of this particular game. And it was a huge surprise that this would be available to download at the beginning, along with the King of Fighters 98 as well.
Yeah.
Two great fighting games.
Well, I mean, I've talked at length, in fact, in tedium on this podcast of how much I love Waku Waku 7. It used to be in a local arcade first, and then it was in a local swimming baths called the Avon Lido for Welsh people. And we always used to play it before we used to go in there because they had a Neo Geo full machine with that Metal Slug and a few other bits.
Cartoony game.
Yes.
Isn't it? It's got some great characters.
It's a parody fighting game.
The Ryu character.
Yes, there's a Ryu character
in
it.
There's a punching bag.
There's that. I mean, there's clearly a reference to Totoro. There's like a police tank thing. There's a alien maid, because that was a big anime trope in the 90s. Like, there's loads of cool stuff in that game. Like, you've kind of got your RPG protagonist dude in Slash. Like, there's a lot of cool characters
in it. What was a little bit jarring for me, though, is how washed out it looked.
Yes.
I don't know what that is to do with the settings on the television or whatever, but I remember that game looking a lot more colourful.
Yeah, me too.
Yeah.
Might be age playing tricks on us, though.
I don't know.
Yeah.
Maybe it's something to do with the conversion, though.
Well, it's probably also the fact that, you know, CRTs did output brighter, and then when you have that then on a regular HDTV, maybe it doesn't look the best. Mm. Plays good, though. That's the important thing.
Yeah, exactly. And we played it with the Joy-Cons.
Yes, we did.
Each had a Joy-Con.
Yes,
That was comfortable.
Yeah, it was fine.
It was fine for that. I mean, that's not the ideal way to play a video game with a tiny controller, but it's absolutely fine.
It worked, yeah. Like, for what we needed it to do at that moment in time.
I can't imagine you'd want to play at that for hours on end, but quick bash on a game.
Yeah, but something a bit more taxing, something like Mario Kart, I can imagine, would be a bit of a strain.
I'd like to try playing Mario Kart with one of them, see how well I hold up on that.
Get one of those steering wheel peripherals and plug it in, and then you're going to have a good time.
I've never been a fan of the steering wheel peripheral. Yeah.
No one has. Like, every time someone tells me, I use the steering wheel for Mario Kart, I just want to be like,
hey, some people
are
very good with the steering wheel.
I know, but what's wrong with those people? Why? What pulls them down that life? Why?
Well, they may have not been a gamer to begin with.
No, that's true. That's the one.
The whole new breed of gamers who could use motion controls.
Yeah.
Perfectly.
That's true. I went for dinner, actually, yesterday with a guy, and he was telling me he used to be the Hungarian world champion at Quake 3. Mm. And he was saying that now he plays on consoles and he enjoys things like Overwatch. And he was telling me, like, oh, man, he goes, you see some of the things that these kids can do now with a controller, he said. And his thing was like, well, I much prefer playing with a mouse and keyboard. Uh-huh. He said some of the things that you can do with controllers now, he said, is perhaps better even than what I could do with the mouse and keyboard. Yeah. I was like, well, I said, that's the way it is, right? Like, if you grew up playing with that rather than a mouse and keyboard, you're obviously going to get better in it. And it's perhaps the same with motion controls.
Mm. And controllers, you know, they've gone to a whole other level now. That Microsoft Elite controller with all these paddles and interchangeable sticks. The controller is really an important piece of
artwork.
Competitive gaming.
It is, and that's what he was using.
I have no interest in one. I actually looked at one thinking, oh, there was a deal. Yeah. Gears of War 4 and that controller for £100. I thought, well, that seems okay, considering that controller is very expensive to begin with. You can get it for like £50 if you'd say the Gears of War was £50 when it got released. But and I was like, no, I don't need it. I don't need that controller. It's very heavy as well.
If I played on my Xbox One more, I'd get it, I think.
Yeah.
But I don't. There's a PS4 version of it made by a third party called Scorpion or something like that. No interest, though, because it's third party. It doesn't look like it has the build quality.
I actually really like light controllers, I have to say.
I like hefty ones.
Yeah, I've never got that. I really like the light one. I love the original PlayStation controller, just the six-axis PS3, because it's got no weight in it, because it's going to rumble.
Oh, it needs something.
I love that.
It needs
controller.
A bit of heft. And I think there's a bit of heft with the Switch. Not an uncomfortable amount, though, like I'd say with the 3DS.
No, I've never actually held it like that and played a game on it. I'll have to try that.
It's good. But, it's all right. It's quite comfortable.
It's not the heavy console.
No,
but it's heavy
definitely
enough.
Not.
Yeah, yeah.
It's got a bit of heft to it. Like I said, it's, you know.
I say, even saying it's got a bit of heft is going a bit far, isn't it?
Well, I mean, compared to a Vita or...
Vita's heavy for its
Vita's
size.
Vita's a pretty light console, I'd say.
You think it's light?
Yeah.
I think it's a lot heavier than the PSP. Light.
Yeah, maybe. Well, definitely lighter than the PSP light. I mean, even probably lighter than the PSP because those UMDs aren't very heavy.
No. And neither are these cards, are
no,
they?
No, God, these cards are lighter than air. I got the limited edition Breath of the Wild and I pulled out the case. And I was just like, I feel that. And it's nothing. It's almost as if the case doesn't need to be there, especially with all, like, probably the recycled plastic and all this kind of stuff. They're trying to, like, push as little plastic in this case as I can. It's just like, well, do they need to be that big? That's
an interesting thing of, we've got to make this big enough so people actually want it, because there's this idea, isn't there, something big, it's better.
Yeah.
They could have halved the size of that, like a DS case, actually.
Yeah, but I mean, those things are huge, like thickness-wise, because of the manuals.
Yeah, they could have had a thin DS size type, like the 3DS cases.
I'm curious to see, actually, if they minimise this space anymore, because if you look at...
They may want to differentiate, though, between this and the 3DS, so that's why they have a different size case.
But I just think maybe they should even make it smaller than the Vita's case. I mean, you look at how the PlayStation 1 games launched in those big long boxes, and you look at how PC games used to ship in
You think they might change the boxes. Size of the box. That would be annoying for collectors once you got them lined up on the shelves.
Yeah, yeah, but I mean, hey, I'm kind of... It's a bit of a waste of packaging in my eyes.
Yeah.
I don't need that much box.
Well, you could certainly ship more cartridges, you know, if you had a smaller box.
I guess it's all about shelf awareness, though, right? Yeah, and you're walking into a shop and going, hey, I got to see this thing, and... That leads to its own problems, I guess. Because then retailers can't stock as many, but then they'd have to get specialist shelving to put smaller cases on.
Vinyl's more popular than CD. Vinyl's huge, CD's small.
Yes, exactly. What about tape? Oh, man, can you imagine if they shipped them in little, like, tape cassette-style cases? Ooh. I'd buy that.
Maybe it was you couldn't appreciate the artwork if it wasn't too small. Because the Zelda artwork is orientated that way.
Yes, it is.
For the Wii U box, I suppose.
Yeah, I guess so.
Oh, is it different on the Wii U? Link's turning towards on the Wii U case. I think it looks different.
He is on the Switch case as well.
Oh, is he? He's on his back.
That's the limited edition box.
Oh, yeah. Fair enough. Enough about cases.
Yeah. Bomberman is good as well. We played a little bit of that. As we said, it's Bomberman. There's not really any need to get into it. Marta played a bit of the story yesterday, my fiance, and she was like, I don't know. I don't really like the characters and stuff. And I was like, well, it's really cutesy. I assumed you would probably dig this. But no, apparently not. I'm going to give it a try before next week's podcast, and I'll let you know. Maybe I'll even beat Bomberman. It doesn't usually take me that long to finish those campaigns.
Is it better than Bomberman Act Zero, Matthew?
Without a shadow of a doubt. better than Bomberman Generations on the GameCube.
Really? No. You're not sure about that one?
I don't think so. Better than Bomberman Party, is it? The one on the Wii? Maybe not.
I've never played this Wii one. Is it downloadable only?
No, physical disc, I think.
Is it?
Yeah.
Oh, I've never seen it.
It's good. Not as much variety in the multiplayer courses, I would say, as Bomberman Generations on the GameCube. For me, that's still the best one outside of obvious Saturn Bomberman. There we go. Can't have everything. They've never gone, hey, let's have a crazy, massive multiplayer Bomberman game again after the Saturn one.
What I heard was it's not as fully featured as you'd expect it to be. You'd expect it to be Ultimate Bomberman Deluxe.
Yes.
But it's not really.
No, it isn't.
Scaled back. Yeah. There's not many arenas, is there?
No, there isn't. No. It's a bit of a shame. Yeah. And apparently a lot of the ones that are in there that you don't get a standard are unlockable and they cost a fortune. And you can't buy it for real world money, which is a start, but...
Yeah.
It takes a long, long time to farm that in-game currency.
Oh.
Yeah, it's a bit of a shame. No achievements or anything, though, on the Switch.
No, Nintendo never been one for achievements.
No, but I mean, there has been some things that was like, wow, that was really cool. I feel like I should be rewarded for that. And Nintendo are like, no.
This is the mentality that Microsoft has fed into you.
Yes, it is. And Sony has helped.
Oh, Sony, yes, certainly jumped on that bandwagon.
But, I don't know. Like, I feel a bit sad that there's not achievements in this system. I think that could be something they could have done quite easily. But
well, people like achievements on the whole. So.
Yeah, I think it just kind of goes against the philosophies of Nintendo anyways. So
yes, I think really it does. Matter. You play for the fun.
Yeah.
The joy.
Speaking of playing for fun and joy, Zelda Tom. Oh, man. Like, I cannot.
I've not seen it. I don't know.
I will show it to you after this podcast, but...
Well, I've seen videos online, but I've not experienced the joy that is Zelda Breath of the Wild. Because my copy isn't here yet.
No, it isn't. Well, you know, you were aware of this. You knew this would happen when you ordered off Amazon. Have they at least dispatched it yet?
No.
Good job.
Well, the earliest they could have dispatched it was Friday, and it was delayed, so
Could have dispatched it Saturday or Sunday. Amazon works all the weekend.
I think they need a few more copies in before they can dispatch them. I think they're fresh out of stock, as most places seem to be.
Rare as rocking horse shit is the word on the street for the Wii U version. Yeah, it's a bit sad because people should play that game because it's fucking incredible, and perhaps that's part of the strategy
tell me,
of...
Tell me more.
Right, so brace yourselves. It's Zelda, but in an open world. I know.
Oh,
that's
I never heard that.
I know
before.
It's going to come to you as a shock.
Really?
But yeah, it's an open world Zelda game,
and that works.
And that works incredibly fucking well.
Yeah, they've, of course, Nintendo usually deliver.
I am not one for open world games. I did love The Witcher, which has technically got open world aspects to it.
Not in the same way as this game, though, is it?
Not in the same way as this game. This game is complete open world. Mm. This is, hey, there is a major quest that you can follow, but even getting to that requires some work on your part to find out where the next bit of that quest will be, and you will find that through wandering through the world.
What I want to know is there a lot of traveling without anything happening?
There is constantly things happening.
Okay, so it's not like you get on your horse and spend ages, just got 10 minutes just galloping. Oh, well, what's going on?
No.
Have you got a horse?
I have. I tamed one myself.
It's not a pony?
No, it is not a pony. I do not need to play a song to call my horse. It is stabled. It is called Patches because I tamed it myself and its bum looked like it was made out of patchwork.
You
got
to name it yourself?
Yes.
You did that in the Twilight Princess, actually.
Yeah,
you
did.
Name your horse.
Yeah, yeah. So I have my horse. I gallop around, climb mountains. You can climb mountains. You can do whatever the fuck you want. You can climb.
If I see
trees.
A mountain, I can climb it.
You can do whatever. You can swim through things. You can climb things. There's lots of things to collect. At one point in the game, you will even unlock an ability to take photographs of things and keep them as like an encyclopedia of all of the things. So you can find weapons and you can go, wow, that weapon's really cool. I'll take a picture of that weapon so I remember that, hey, this weapon is really good.
You taking many screenshots yet with your screenshot button?
I have taken a few with my capture button.
Yeah,
I wish I could record video with my capture button, but that's neither
that may come later.
It will, they've said.
Yeah,
and God, I hope it hurries up.
Do you think there'll be also a way to copy a save game to another storage device?
Well, you'd hope so. I
they've said no for the time being.
Yeah,
yeah.
It's a bit of a shame, but I mean...
Surprising, though, isn't it? Considering you've got an SD slot, you could easily just move a save file to.
Yeah, yeah.
Odd.
Mm-hmm. So, it's interesting. Like, I did not expect to like this game as much as I do. I went into it with a healthy degree of skepticism. Those who've listened to this podcast for a long time will know, yes, I really liked Wind Waker. Didn't really like Twilight Princess upon its release. Didn't like Skyward Sword at all, I would say. And then...
Would you consider yourself a Zelda fan?
I would honestly say I'm a Zelda fan. Mm. I do love that series.
It's an appealing series to everybody, isn't it? It appeals to me, even though I'm not someone who sits down and plays a lot of adventure games.
Yeah.
Zelda's always been spellbinding. You know, it's always been like, oh, I want to play that. I want to be in that world. And the gameplay's always been really solid and enjoyable. And it's just a seal of quality. When you see Zelda... You're like, okay, I know I'm in for a good game.
Yeah, and to be honest with you, I haven't felt that since the GameCube.
You haven't?
I haven't,
but then you played the one on 3DS.
I did play the one on 3DS, and that was the...
Link Between Worlds.
Link Between Worlds, but let's be honest, that was essentially just a remake of Link to the Past, which was in itself a quality game.
Yeah. Some would say that was better than Link to the Past, so...
Debatable. I think they are very... close, and so I can't really distinguish my nostalgia from my love of A Link Between Worlds and A Link Between the Past. It's an interesting conundrum. Anyway, I'm not going to get into it. Yes. We've got other things to talk about. This game, though, has not only completely sold me on the idea of, okay, Zelda is still a relevant franchise. Like, I've played things like The Witcher, I've played things that are very immersive third-person action RPG things with storylines, and I could go around the world and I could have my own experience, because everyone who plays this game, man's never going to have the same experience. I think that's a bit true for Zelda more than anything I've ever played. I think half of the joy of Zelda is the experience you will have, because it feels like you are... Link is a complete blank slate. It isn't like Geralt in Witcher, which you're following his story.
Or James Marston, isn't it? In Red Dead. Because Red Dead, I think of that as being a big open world game with lots of little quests and such. Similar in some degree.
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah,
It is of that caliber. It is the higher big open world sandboxy type genre. Yeah.
But Link's still not got a voice. Link hasn't got a voice, so Link
just feels like it's you. And there's a certain degree of customization of how you play this game based on the weapons you find and the equipment you gather and how you you can dye your clothes and stuff, so you can truly make Link your own.
Yeah. So you can have a green Link if you want.
You can, yeah. Mine's like blue and brown at the moment is the colour scheme I chose to dye him. And
But blue seems to be the most popular fashion.
Yes, it is. And I mean, like, bright blue is on the front of the box. Mine's more like a dark blue, though, like a royal blue.
Like the water tunic from Ocarina of Time.
Yes, quite. I've just been wandering around this world, though, and just kind of taking it in and fighting things. And the first off is the first game in a long time I actually have a notepad by the side of me.
You do?
I do. I'm actually writing down recipes and writing down things when I kill them, because before I had my Sheikah Slate would tell me, hey, this enemy drops this. I was like, okay, hey. I need to remember that these things drop this thing.
Is that like your navi?
Yeah. No, it isn't. It doesn't tell you what to do.
No.
So that's kind of cool. I haven't had the experience of having to take notes while playing a game and that experience being fun. Fez was probably the last game I did that in. Fez with its crazy secret language for anti-cubes and having to decipher things in a notebook. And as you know, Fez is one of my favourite games. I thought it was a brilliant aspect of that, and I think this is actually kind of a strength to this game. You don't have to do it. It doesn't tell you you need to do these things, but you want to because you want a deeper understanding and you want to kind of get to grips with the world and you want to be able to go, okay, I need this now, I need to do this. The fact that you can go anywhere in the world is crazy. The fact there is no limitations, there's no like closed off areas you're never going to get to, like a corner of a mountain and then have an invisible wall.
There's no limits.
There is no limits.
Reach for the sky.
Oh shit, I can't remember the words to it. I'm sorry,
there's
I'm
no
not.
Lyrics, I wonder why. Lyrics. There's no lyrics.
No.
No.
There's no lyrics.
Limit.
Sorry, having this conversation about a game that I'm truly enamoured with when I'm completely flued up is a disservice to everyone. I will speak with more enthusiasm on The Legend of Zelda next week, but I need to power through. I need to try and enforce how good a game this is. So there's that aspect. There's the fact you can find loads of weapons and stuff. There's the fact that there's no limit to the game. Admittedly, getting all teary-eyed and choking up here.
It's beautiful.
It is. It's just, I can't put it into words. No, as you're going through, and it does become more apparent that the selection of weapons is perhaps a bit more limited than you would think. However, the combat is perhaps the most robust I've ever seen in a game of this style.
Mm-hmm.
Admittedly, the skills that you have as Link are generally limited to what you would find in everything from Ocarina. You can backflip, you can sidestep, you can lunge, you can do these things.
Yeah. Do you do that?
Yes, you can. You can also parry with your shield. If you do these things on the right time, the world kind of slows down and lets you just kind of mash the Y button to go like, wah, wing swords
does
into people.
Does he say wugwa?
Yeah.
Wah.
Yes, he does. He says those exact words. He goes, yeah! I can't do Link impressions with this throat, otherwise I'm going to cough my lungs
out. No, I can't do it. Mine are too high, aren't they?
They are, yeah. Yours are much too high.
Mine's a young Link.
Yes, it is.
That's what I'm doing.
Or a small monkey in a zoo. What can I say, man? Like, I don't want
to. Yeah, I think it's just such, it sounds to me like it's such a big game and there's so much to talk about and that you really have to play it to, understand why it's so good.
Usually if I wasn't sick as a dog, I would unpack this a lot more.
But I think it's not an easy game to explain. It didn't sound like that to me.
No, it definitely isn't. I mean, the sheer charm of it is, right, I need to give you anecdotes because I think you'll understand the game better from anecdotes. So there are trials in the game, which are these little kind of miniature temples you go into, and they all have one puzzle you need to solve.
Like Pokemon.
And when you're doing these trials, they are essentially the game's tutorials, because they will show you, hey, have you tried solving a puzzle like this the first time you kind of get into them? And you have some abilities on your Sheikah tablet, such as the ability to throw bombs. You have magnetism, which is something I've never seen in a Zelda game.
So Link has a tablet as well.
Link has a tablet, but you can like pick up metal objects and rearrange things and do stuff with.
Okay.
You can throw like these bombs made out of energy that then you remote detonate, which is quite cool in combat because you can drop them at your feet as you're running away and blow them up at things. There is a camera mode in that, like I said, which you record all the stuff for the world. There is a way that you can grow blocks of ice out of water. And I think that's it. I'm probably missing one or two, but that's what I've unlocked so far. And so you go into these trials and you use these mechanics then to solve these puzzles, and then you get these things called spirit stones, I believe they're called, and then you use them to level up and get more heart containers and more stamina for the world.
Do you hear the noise? Do 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 do.
Yes. Yes, you do.
Nice.
So you go through these trials and you get these stones to increase. You get four of them, and you can either increase your stamina meter, which you need for swimming and climbing and doing all of this free traversal stuff.
Stamina meter. Yes. Right? Just or, like GTA.
Oh, yeah. Or you can change four of them for a heart container and get an extra bit of life. Both are crucial to your survival in this world. So you're wanting to do these trials, not only because they are instilling in you the knowledge of what you need to play the game, but they're also giving you an incentive in the fact of like, hey, this is how you get heart containers. This is how you build up Link into a better character.
Yeah.
So I was in one of these trials, and I was in a bit over my head because I now know what to do, and I need to go back there. There was something I shan't say because it's a bit of a spoiler to solve some of the puzzles in that game. But I was in this place, and I was clearly out of my league because there was a few puzzles I literally just got the runes to do in my Sheikah tablet, and there were guardians, the crazy robotic thing, which are generally a higher level area. Generally higher level enemies for higher level areas. And so I was trying to fight these things. And I was like, oh shit, I keep dying. But there's a treasure chest behind these. And so I was trying to just get in, get the treasure chest and get out. Because I was like, well, that's probably a really good weapon or something that will aid me in my quest to make things a bit easier.
Mm-hmm.
And so I tried to run past them a few times. They fire lasers. I got nailed by those lasers. And as I kept going, I kept trying. I was like, oh, maybe I should just give up and do this later.
Yeah.
But about the fourth, fifth time, I realized that I could summon up a block of ice and that would disrupt their beam. They would shoot this block of ice. And there's I now know there's a little telltale, like, bip. And that means you need to fucking jump because you're about to get shot by a laser. Because if you get hit by it, it completely kills me because I've only got four heart containers. So I ran past them. I managed to get to this chest. And in it was a sword. All of your equipment in Legend of Zelda Breath of the Wild has a strength stat to it. So it's just like, you get a Traveler Sword, which is a 5 sword, or you can get like a Soldier Sword, which is a 12 sword.
Mm.
In this chest was a sword called the Edge of Duality.
Mm-hmm. Sounds cool. Sounds like a metal album.
All of these swords have little descriptions, and usually like Traveler Swords, it's like, oh, this is a common sword used by travelers, da-da-da-da. But I opened this chest, I picked out the sword, and it was at 50. There's like leaps and bounds better than anything I'd found in this game so far. I could use it. There's no limitation.
Level cap.
There's no, like, I got a bow within the first minute of the game because I climbed on top of something and there was a chest and a bow in it. Like, there are no limitations to how and when you can find things and use them. Like, as long as you are able to get it with your hands, you can equip it to Link. So I picked up the sword, a really cool item description about some guy traveling to Hyrule from a faraway land, not knowing how to make swords the way the Hyruleans did. And so it's this big blade, like the shaft of it was just all like blue and gold and looked really cool with all these runes up it. And then the blade itself was this giant bronze bastard sword with like weird angles to the blade. And I was like, man, this looks incredible. So I picked it up and I turned around and just like two-shotted these guardians that had killed me. And I had really strong. And the weapons degrade. So anytime I was hitting them with like my traveler sword after like one swing or whatever, their armor was so strong, my traveler swords were breaking.
Is it as big as the big Goron sword? This sword you're talking about. It's not that massive like Cloud or Siegfried or...
I would say like if you look at how big Cloud's Buster Sword is to Cloud, it's about that scale. Yeah. But it doesn't look out of proportion. It looks like a two-handed blade should look. It doesn't like look overly comically large.
No, it
looks big and it looks cool.
And
so I slashed the shit out of these two things. I was like, man, this just nailed these guys. This sword's amazing. So I had that as my sword and I kept it on my back and I was only using it in sparing occasions when either a fight would get too much
So you could have like a secondary weapon you could use instead.
Well, you have on the D-pad, you can literally flick between your weapons. So when I was getting into combat with like Moblins or Stalfos and this kind of stuff, like the easy enemies, I was just literally using my regular sword. Like I was using a Traveler's sword or whatever I'd found around. It was only when shit got dicey or I run into something I shouldn't be fighting that I pick up my Edge of Duality, and then I'd feel like I was on even keel with these amazing things.
You said two-handed, so you couldn't use it with a shield.
Couldn't use a shield, but it was just like...
Do you have a shield?
Yes, you do. You have a variety of shields. You can you have slots for six bows, six shields, and then there's a slot for weapons, this stub does, and I think you can have eight.
Slingshot?
Haven't found one yet. I found a boomerang. I've got a, I got a variety of different swords. I had a sickle at one point. Then I've had things like torches go in there, axes for cutting down trees, because you can literally cut down trees and use them as bridges.
So you collect wood?
Yeah, if you want to. Yeah. Burn it, make torches, you can set fires, so you can go to sleep and rest your health and things.
Is there a day-night cycle?
There is a day-night cycle, but that's been in Zelda since forever. But this blade, I was using it and I was killing things. And now my blade is like, you get to a point where, because it's item degradation, I was using it and I was just like, oh man, fuck, this guardian's going to nail me as I was going towards Hyrule Castle. I'm going to die. I got hit. It used one of my fairies that I managed to find. I was like, oh shit, I've only got one more of those left and it's probably going to be back away. And so I picked out the sword and I smashed this thing and I managed to kill it. But it was just like your Edge of Duality is badly damaged. And that means generally one or two more hits and this thing's going to break in my hands. Yeah. So I've literally, like, despite going through countless other swords and getting other things, I like this sword so much that I've kept it in the hopes that somewhere in this universe is a blacksmith that can repair my sword. Yeah. Or perhaps even make my sword so it doesn't degrade.
Or you could find a better sword.
Perhaps I could. But for the moment, it's just like, this is my sword.
It's the ultimate sword.
Yeah. And I think there's a degree of that. And like I said, as I've gone on and I've seen more weapons, I've seen more things, I realise that perhaps the game is limited in how many of these things it has. But Link feels like my Link. I chose to put a hood on him. I chose to dye the clothes the colour it is. I chose to keep this sword above all other swords. And when I raid a Moblin camp, or when I go to other places and there's like swords in the ground because the world just feels full of populated. Yeah. It feels like something happened there.
Yeah, yeah.
I will always go like, oh, cool, there's a sword. Nah, it's a traveler's sword. Don't need a traveler's sword. Don't use traveler's swords. Mm.
To me, it sounds so free and open. I'm wondering how the storyline fits into everything.
Well, for those of you who've seen the trailer and those of you who know about The Legend of Zelda Breath of the Wild, there is naturally Ganon. Is called the Calamity Ganon because he almost ended the world 100 years ago.
Does he look like you'd expect, or do you know what he looks like?
From what I've seen of it, it looks very different, so I shan't say because it's a very interesting thing seeing that for the first time. Yeah. It might have been in the trailers, but I don't know. Ganon. Just in case, yeah. So you go around and you've got this aim of getting from place to place, and as you're going, you're sent of, hey, you need to go to this village, you need to go to this village. You're trying to save Princess Zelda and kill Ganon. It's the same thing.
The princess is in trouble. Go rescue her.
Yeah, I mean, but there are other things at work. And in all fair, it's not as cut and dry. There are very, very interesting things that happen in the story that you kind of flip Zelda stories on its head. I don't want to say because I don't want to spoil it for people.
Okay. And me.
And you, yeah, but I mean, like, there's cool shit in that storyline, and it is the most I've cared about a Legend of Zelda storyline for a long time.
Fully voice acted, apart from Link.
No, the cutscenes are.
The cutscenes are,
yeah. Anytime I've encountered anything to do with Zelda, that's been voice acted.
Yeah.
And other main characters who are dotted around the world.
How is said voice acting?
Very
I know you're a good stickler for voice acting.
No problems with it, I mean.
Better than Shenmue.
Without a shadow of a doubt. better than most things I've played, to be honest. Admittedly, voice acting is used very sparingly, so perhaps that's why it's a high level of quality. I even hear from Horizon Zero Dawn that a lot of the voice acting for the main characters is amazing. Some of the side quest stuff, not so much.
Hmm.
But I guess that is just the nature of the beast, right? It's like, hey, would you rather have like 12 really good voice actors.
I'm glad there's not a lot of dialogue in the game.
I mean, there's dialogue in the same way there is in every other Zelda game. Written. You talk to townspeople and it's written, you go, sounds, bloom, as you click A to go down the lines of text. But all in all, like, I must have spent, I don't know, probably about 10, 12 hours of the game now, I think. I'm trying to limit myself because I don't want to hit a fatigue with it, because I often do with open world games.
And that's quite a lot. But it, time.
I haven't been in a dungeon yet. Like,
I've heard there's a lot to do with the point where you could spend that amount of time just in the first area. Even.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah. I think I am. Like, yeah. I think, like, you know, I am every now and again going, okay, I should progress the story a little bit.
Yeah.
But that leads to more exploration and more wandering, and, you know, like, sometimes then I run up the icy hills, and as everyone seems to know, there's lots of things with, like, hey, you can't go in the cold because Link will freeze and you lose health. You need a big coat, yeah. And I had a big coat, but my coat wasn't big enough for this crazy mountain I went up.
Oh.
And even when I did get up there was a giant boss at the top that I could see, and I was like, I am nowhere near ready to kill this thing.
Yeah. Like, have these moments of realization where it's like, I'm not ready for that. It'll be like, the only situation I've had similar probably Fallout, you know.
Yeah.
That I found it wander off into some place and then they just get killed straight away.
This thing looked huge.
Yeah.
This thing looked on like Dark Souls style level of scale and what it looked. It just looked menacing. It looked like nothing I've ever seen before in a Zelda
game.
Nice
design then. In general.
Yeah.
In this game,
and I was like, man, this is going to be interesting to fight. Beautiful game. I could say more. I don't want to spoil it for people. It's only just
come out, I think you've whetted everyone's appetites enough to want to try out Breath of the Wild.
I honestly would dare say might be my game of the year. I can't
imagine
see
anything else coming up.
How
later.
Anything can push more than this game has.
Wow, that's high praise.
Honestly,
well
like,
done, Nintendo.
Yeah, I mean, you know, Horizon's supposed to be fucking amazing as well. Yeah. Like, it's going to be a tough game of the year decision for us, I think, this year.
Yeah, certainly.
Yeah. So, yeah, Zelda, Breath of the Wild. Go buy it if you can find it. And, yeah, maybe get a Switch as well. Show people that people like Nintendo consoles and they should probably make some games.
I don't know how the sales figures are. I don't know how well it sold. I imagine it sold.
It's sold out everywhere, but I mean, like, does it maintain momentum is the key thing, right? Because, I mean, people like myself who are diehard Nintendo fans will always sell out Nintendo consoles at launch. Same happened with the Wii U.
Yeah.
Does that mean that it'll have lags and keep going? I think Zelda will push a lot of sales. I think they were very smart to port Zelda.
That was a great move.
Yes, it was. Especially if they can't buy the Wii U one, because people will literally probably buy a Switch to play Zelda.
Mm-hmm.
So it goes.
Yeah. It's like Nintendo was only given that option. Hey, you know, you thought about buying a Wii U to play Zelda, and you got to buy a Switch because we're not going to be stocking that Wii U version.
Yeah, we're going to make 7 copies.
So you're going to have to buy a Switch if you want to play Zelda.
Yeah, one for each continent. Good luck finding them.
I'm hoping in a couple of weeks they'll be back in the wild.
I will pick one up when they are because, yeah, I guess that will be the Twilight Princess of the Wii U collection. That it will be a pain in the ass to find. Mm. Yeah, we'll see how it goes.
So, very Nintendo-centric episode so far, and I'm going to stay on that track.
Oh, really?
Well, I talk about Star Fox Zero, a game which hasn't received a lot of love, but I've had a really great time with it. My 3.5 hours spent with it yesterday morning were incredibly enjoyable. With only a few minor frustrations.
Can we also put this into perspective that you are not a person who plays games for 3.5 hours at a time?
And the funny thing about this is I didn't realise I was playing 3.5 hours. It's testament to the variety in gameplay.
Did you feel like you were spending 3 years playing it? Because that was my experience.
Not at all. Not at all. So I rejoined this Star Fox game, I think, the third mission.
Yeah.
Yeah. Is where I picked it up, which is a very unique mission. It's a very stealthy mission. You're in a totally different vehicle, sort of like a hover ship. And that mission was okay. From the fourth mission onwards, I was just on this ride, and I was loving every second of it. And I have to say, the difficulty curve of Star Fox Zero is very good. I had to retry levels, you know. There was certainly a challenge there, but it never felt like it was unfair.
Yeah.
It was a good challenge. I got all the way up to Ganon. Not Ganon. Andross. Yes. It's all this talk of bloody Zelda. I got all the way up to Andross at the end, which is similar to the Star Fox 64 incarnation of Andross, but
giant floating monkey with hands.
Yes, exactly, but with a twist.
Okay,
and there were great moments along this way. I'm going to talk about a couple of the missions. There was one where these missiles were heading towards.
So did you
Cornaria.
Beat Star Fox Zero?
No, I didn't, because I can't beat Andross.
Okay,
I did try quite a few times.
So this
but
game
it's
is only 4 hours long.
I had a look on it. I'm on 4 hours 50 in total playing it.
Okay.
So it's, let's say it's a 5 hour game. You know, okay. If I hadn't spent so long trying to beat Ganon, maybe one more go I could have done it. Let's say it's 5 hours.
Yeah, it's really tough when you're trying to beat Ganon and play Star Fox.
Ganon,
at the same
sorry.
Time.
Andross.
We know what you mean. Don't worry.
Yeah.
I'm busting your balls,
yeah,
Parry.
Yeah.
I don't know who that character was.
To give an idea of the variety of missions, though, there's these three missiles heading towards Cornaria. You've got to stop them. So as Fox, you have to destroy each part of the three missiles, which was a challenge because you have a certain time limit before they go and hit the planet. But at the same time, the Great Fox, their big ship, is being attacked by little drones.
Okay.
So you've played a few times, and in the first few cases, I took too long with the missiles and the drones destroyed the ship.
Yeah.
So what I had to do then was focus on the missiles, and then you don't have such a big problem with the drones.
Okay.
Because the Great Fox got a health bar. That was one example of a unique mission. Some of them are just like open world things, like this one on the ice planet, which felt very much like Hoth. It looked very good visually.
Yeah.
The massive spider walker thing I had to take down. Felt incredibly epic and enjoyable.
Okay.
That took me a few attempts because it was a big boss character. You got Landmaster missions where you're in the tank.
Yeah.
Actually, the Landmaster doubles up as a ship in some missions, so they always change it up, like give your ships extra abilities.
Yeah.
So that keeps things fresh as well. There was a mission where it was all very fast, and I had to just dodge things very quickly.
Okay.
So every mission is something different. And I think that was one of the big things that kept me interested in the game. It never got old.
Yeah.
I think that's because it's 5 hours long. There's not time for it to ever get old.
No.
So the biggest hurdle initially with Star Fox Zero was its controls, of course.
Yeah.
So, yes, I'd be the first to admit, like most people, that it was infuriating at first. And there are still moments where the levels will have a iffy little bit where the controls really work against you.
Yeah.
For the most part, though, in my experience with it, those bits are few and far between. Maybe they're more prevalent at the beginning of the game, which is not a good idea if you're trying to get people to play your game.
No.
Or maybe that's just getting used to it, perhaps.
Perhaps.
But later on, the later missions, especially those big open ones where your only objective is to destroy a big creature.
Yeah.
Then the controls don't really get in the way. There's a boss battle, which is a bit frustrating.
Okay.
So there's these little moments of frustration. But when the gamepad is only serving for you to get a more accurate shot, because it is difficult to shoot accurately just looking at the screen, because you're always sort of off center.
Yeah, exactly.
Which is odd. But you will adjust to that after a while. And then you look down at the screen. And actually, it was one of the most interesting uses of the gamepad, I think. At certain times, it feels actually quite clever and unique, and you feel like, well, I'm having quite a fun game experience with a very, at times, enjoyable secondary control method.
Yeah.
So it's a mixed bag. You see, I would not go out and say Star Fox is an amazing game, but there's a lot to enjoy in there. And it's got moments where it's like, this is the ultimate Star Fox game. There honestly are moments in it where you think, yeah, they've taken that great template that was really solidly established in Star Fox 64. And it's like, where can we take this now and keep it with that same feel? You know? And there's moments in this, especially as I keep talking about that giant spider creature, was like, wow, this is next level, next gen Star Fox. And this is quite amazing.
Yeah.
So it does an amazing job of balancing being something new while retaining the feel.
Yeah.
This certainly feels like a Star Fox game, from the sound effects to the design. Unfortunately, not the controls, which is...
Yeah. When I was in the weekend of Smash Brothers that I've already previously mentioned, I took along my copy of Star Fox Zero for one of my friends, Bass, to play because he was super interested in it. Like me, he's always loved Star Fox. Yeah. And he gave it back to me. He was like, "Ah, no, I'm good. Thanks.
That's bad.
I don't want to. I don't
want to
buy it."
Real shame.
He played for 2.5 hours.
Yeah.
His biggest takeaway of why he doesn't like that game is because the game cheats you. What you were shooting on screen is actually offset and down to the right.
Yeah, so, because you have to look at the gamepad.
Because you have to look at the gamepad.
Yeah.
But it isn't a matter of, hey, you should look at the gamepad and if and when you want to. The game is physically broken to make you look at the gamepad, which is, for him, an inherent design flaw and also something I would totally distance myself from. Mm. I think the fact that you cannot play the game other than looking at the gamepad is broken.
You get used to it. And that surprised me as much as, but at the end, it's like, this is actually quite rewarding. I honestly felt that. I mean, sometimes I didn't. Sometimes it was the complete opposite.
Yeah.
But sometimes it really works. It's not like the idea is crap. It is, in some circumstances, it works pretty well.
Yeah.
It's as others, the game is designed in a way where it doesn't really, they don't work together.
Yeah.
You know, and that's the real flaw of the game. If the game managed to create moments where they work together perfectly, which they do in certain circumstances, then it would be a much better game than it is. And it's for everything that's great about the game, it's really a shame because people aren't maybe going to see the rest of the game.
Yeah.
Because they're frustrated at first. It's an interesting one. It really is.
Could you have not done something with that gamepad? Like, for example, like over the shoulder view, so you could see if there was something flying up on you if you're getting shot.
I think you could have done it in a different way, for sure.
Hey, cool. Now I need to go into aim mode and like the targeting computer in Star Wars. So, you know, you have areas where you're flying down and then you have to look at the gamepad in the same way that thing comes down in front of Luke's face. There are so many better iterations they've got to done with the gamepad. It looks like they were trying to think of something to me and they were like, hey, let's aim through the gamepad. Doesn't work for me. I can't help it.
Yeah. But I'd urge you to go back to it and try and experience the rest of it. You might not like. I happen to really enjoy it. And I really wasn't sure at first when I went back and picked the game up. I was doubting this thing so much, but I felt like it was sitting on my shelf. I'd spent, 2 hours with it when I first got it. And it was like, I need to get a little bit more out of this.
I will beat it because I love that franchise.
I certainly did. And I think you will gain a great appreciation for it when you play some of the later missions. And that's a real shame.
We'll see.
Bad first impressions on that one.
I will give it a go. I cannot say I will prioritise it because, alas,
well, I know
Zelda.
You've got a lot to play. I haven't, you see. Yeah. My thing was this weekend, I haven't got Zelda. I was like looking at my Wii U games and thinking, well, which one shall I play today? Yeah. And Star Fox was it.
Fair enough. Mm. Bought and played anything else, or is that it for
you? I played Epic Mickey.
Yeah?
On the Wii. Yeah, it's a good game. I mean, it's a fairly middle-of-the-road 3D platformer, I suppose, but then it does have that unique system of the paint and the thinner. You know, in Epic Mickey, you have areas which you have to paint in order to, like, you need to get across a bridge. It's broken.
Yes.
So you know that.
Cover
in paint, you can go across a bridge. And then sometimes you have to make objects disappear, so use the thinner for that and so on and so forth.
Yeah.
Great design, great ideas. It is a robust platformer with nice graphics and a lot of charm. There are moments where I was smiling to myself, actually.
Yeah.
So the camera lets it down a little, but that's the problem with a lot of... that's why there's only so many great 3D platformers.
Yeah.
Because you can have a good game, but you can have a bad camera.
Yes,
which
you can.
Really does make games a lot worse than they could have been.
Yes, it does.
So it you have to move it around manually quite a lot.
So can I ask you the question? Why did you play Star Fox Zero and not The Last Guardian?
Because I didn't feel like playing Last Guardian.
Fair enough.
I felt like playing something a bit different than that. I felt like playing a Nintendo game.
Yeah.
In all honesty, I think it's the buzz around the Switch.
Yeah.
Because I had thought about playing Last Guardian, but then, you know, I was feeling Nintendo-y.
Fair enough.
And I was feeling actually with me, I played Mickey on the Wii as well. And I was feeling like I want some characters, colourful, cartoonish sort of characters. Yes. That's how I felt this weekend with my gaming. I will go back to Last Guardian eventually.
Yeah.
That would have made sense because it's kind of Zelda-like in its vision.
A little,
A little, how it looks maybe.
Yeah.
Yeah, atmosphere.
Ambiance.
Yes. So I actually had a really good time with both those games. Star Fox more so, even, yeah. and Mickey, actually. Okay. And I've been picking up games. It's still on my Nintendo 64 thing.
Yeah.
So I've picked up a few more N64 games. I've got about 50% of the library of games.
Ooh,
on the N64.
Ooh la la, Tom Parry. Are you going to go for 100%?
No, I'm not, because there's certainly enough. I think I can safely say this. 50% of the N64 library's good. 50% I have no interest in. And what I can see from those games that I haven't played yet, there's not so many in the other 50% that interest me or actually been reviewed as being great.
Yeah.
You know. Also, I'm not going to buy multitudes of NBA games or NFL games or baseball games or hockey games. I have one of each. Actually, I have all the golf games on the N64. Yeah.
Why not get all the basketball games, Tom? They're like a quid each.
I got one good basketball game. That's Kobe Bryant's NBA courtside.
Yeah.
I feel it's all I need.
Fair enough.
To be honest.
Yeah.
What
happens if you found one and it was a quid? You'd be like, oh, I'll get
that. No, I wouldn't. Because NBA games, basketball games don't interest me as much as golf games. You see, that's why I've got more golf games.
Ah, I see.
And also, it's hard to pick what is the best golf game, where it's more obvious in some other franchises. Mario Golf is the best golf game on the N64.
Haven't you got like 5 tennis games now?
Yeah, I've actually got all the tennis games on the N64, apart from Mario Tennis, which I have downloaded somewhere because I already bought it ages ago. I'm not going to rebuy it.
Why not, Tom?
I'm not going to rebuy Mario Kart 64.
Why not, Tom?
I have it on the Wii U.
Maybe you could have it on a cartridge, Tom, and play it the way God intended.
I know, but you know, you have to draw the line somewhere. You know, I'm not made of money.
It's a shame.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So I've really been enjoying collecting more for that console. I've got a blocked up nose, and my nose is running now.
Ha ha ha.
So I was fine before we started.
I'm sorry.
It's all right.
I hope I haven't infected any of you listeners at home. Hopefully this sinus infection hasn't leaked in through your ears.
Yeah. I feel like I've been, buying a lot of games again lately. And as you can watch the Paris Pickup videos. There's a new one that I'm going to post today as well.
Ooh, I will have a watch.
You might have heard about some of them already. Because I'm slightly behind. We may have talked about some on the podcast.
Ah, but you know, if you want to see Tom's wonderful face, I can't promise any of my Littleton tones this week. There should have been a biographic, but... My voice is sounding like this, and for posterity's sake, I don't want...
It doesn't sound that bad.
Ah, in my head, it does. Anyways, I guess that brings us to the end of the podcast on Parry. Let's go have a look at some Zelda.
I'd like to see that.
For you wonderful people at home, though, you can find us in a variety of places. Unfortunately, there won't be that much Zelda. Or well, maybe they would on my own Twitter, which is GameBoyle. You can find Tom Parry at TomParry11, and you can find us in general at TMAcast. Same on Facebook, Tom and Matt Attack. Facebook.com/TomMattAttack.
Mm-hmm.
You can find us in a variety of other places. You can go to BlastProcess.com. You can go to TomMattAttack.com/podcast. You can also go to Stitcher and iTunes. While you're in iTunes, why not give us a cheeky rate and subscribe? It lets us know you're listening and keeps us motivated to podcast. On that note, I think it is time to say, if you have a Switch, or if you have Zelda for the Wii U, I hope you're enjoying it. If you have Horizon Zero Dawn for the PS4, I hope you're enjoying that.
And if you don't have Zelda, why not play Star Fox?
Exactly. Why not? Why not go out your way, buy Star Fox for the £3 it probably costs in cash generator?
It's actually a lot less copies than other games. You get about 25, I think, new.
Cool. What a bargain for 5 hours of mediocre gameplay.
Oh, you...
Ah,
play it.
I will, and then I'll go back and play Zelda. Till next week, though, folks. Enjoy yourself in the land of gaming, and game on.
Game on.